Hey, what's up everybody? AJ here. I'm going to recap last night's UFC card, UFC Fight Night Overeem versus Harris. This was an awesome card, guys. I mean, the cards, you know, the past few days here, all three of them have been tremendous. But like, honestly, this one, I think, stuck out the most just in terms of like, you know, from top to bottom. Like the finishes, every single fight on this card pretty much was just exciting back and forth, like just action-packed. So really excited that, you know, really happy rather that we just got to enjoy these fights and, you know, just really grateful that we had them go on because it was such an awesome card, guys. And very happy that we all, you know, gathered together and, you know, at our own respective locations and, you know, just watched this card and enjoyed it because it really was an incredible card. The reason why I'm hopping on here is to just recap the whole card from top to bottom. I will talk about, you know, my... you know, some things that stuck out to me, just kind of quickly recapping, you know, each fight, you know, some stuff that, you know, stuck out to me, stuff I learned, etc. So with that being said, before I just jump right in, it was another profitable night, coming off another winning event here. That's two in a row. Very happy that things are going well here and looking forward to continuing that momentum for the next event, which I believe is scheduled for May 30th, so looking forward to that, and I'll definitely be up to date with the news, and I will, you know, be more than happy to get started right back into things on my research for the upcoming bout. So really looking forward to this, and it's just awesome. Again, I've said it before that we have UFC cards to look forward to, so it's truly awesome that, you know, the cards are happening, and, you know, they're happening in a safe way, and all the right precautions are in place to make sure that the show could go on in an optimal way. So just go from the first fight of the night, Dontel Mays versus Rodrigo Nascimento. This was just a really hard fight to predict on tape. You know, I knew Nascimento could, you know, submit Mays on the ground. I noticed on tape that Mays' defensive grappling and wrestling is a liability. I just wasn't really sure if Nascimento was able to get him down because it's just so hard. There was just so little tape on Nascimento. Like, from the tape that, you know, I've seen on him, it's like he's a good grappler. He's a submission threat, but it's like, there's just so many question marks on him. You know, there's just, again, limited footage. And in addition to that, he hasn't been past the 3-minute mark of the second round. It was just one of those fights where it was just like total toss up, no bet either way. I picked Mays to win, but like really, you know, just, it was just so hard to predict on tape. And Nascimento looked good there. You know, he again showcased his submission grappling. He's a submission threat on the ground, works at American Top Team. And yeah, really like, you know, how he looked there. And not too much else. I mean, again, we didn't get to see a whole lot of him. You know, the trend still continues of him not being past the 3-minute mark of the second round. As I see here, it went to the 2-minute, 5-second mark of the second round. So the cardio still remains a question. Again, I said it before, but I'm not ready to say that the guy automatically has bad cardio because I just don't think it's right to assume that. But that said, I'm going to monitor it going forward. What is his cardio like as the fight progresses beyond that marking? So good performance by Nascimento, and on to the next fight here, where Courtney Casey, submitted Mara Romero Barella. This was a fight where I felt comfortable picking Casey to win. The only like thing that didn't warrant a bet for me is because Casey oftentimes fights competitively. You know, assuming the fight goes to the scorecards. You know, like she had a split decision against Felice Herrig, Angela Hill. Like she fights very competitively, and part of the reason why is because while she is a very good grappler off her back, she's a BJJ brown belt and a submission threat, she, you know, gives up a lot of takedowns. Like, and I think part of the reason why is because, you know, she's comfortable, she's confident with her abilities off of her back. But that said, you know, a lot of, in some of her fights, like Michelle Waterson, for instance, if she doesn't get that submission, even though she could be threatening from there, it could create a visual in the judge's eyes where if she doesn't reverse position or get the submission, and the fighter on top is, you know, earning top control time, then it can make that, you know, seem like the fighter in top control is getting the better of those exchanges, even if they aren't as busy as, say, the fighter on bottom. So I picked Casey to win, but didn't warrant a bet for those reasons, basically, and thought she had a decent chance to finish this fight, and she did so. You know, went out there, you know, and got a very impressive submission win off of her back. She's very talented on the ground. I, you know, just noticed that on tape in the Randa Marcos fight, for instance. Even the Michelle Waterson fight, even though she didn't get the nod there on two of the three judges' scorecards. You know, good to see her get back in the win column. And just very good performance by her. And looking forward to see if she stays at flyweight. And if so, who does she gets matchup against further. But impressive by Courtney Casey. Next fight, Darren Elkins versus Nate Landwehr. this was an awesome fight. There were so many significant strikes accumulated here. They both just really brought it. The thing that surprised me is I thought that Elkins was going to have a bit more success wrestling here against Landwehr. You know, Landwehr on tape, you know, in addition to his UFC debut where he was taken down a lot more easily than I would have expected there against Burns. He was also taken down on the regional scene. I've seen him give up position on the ground, and I felt comfortable, you know, saying that Elkins was a superior wrestler, but went 1-for-13 on his takedown attempts there. And it was just an action-packed fight for as long as it went. And Elkins just took a lot of damage again, unfortunately. Had a really bloody face, which, you know, he's had in the past, like against Mirsad Bektik and Ricardo Lamas. It's just, unfortunately, it's a liability because, you know, that obviously when you got the bloody face, it hinders your vision. It, you know, just throws everything off. You're not fighting when you're at your best when you got the bloody face because, again, the vision, the damage taken, etc. So, good performance by both guys. I wish Landwehr didn't showboat as much as he does because that's just not something that you should do in a fight ever. And so I would like to see him not do that going forward. The thing that stuck out to me, though, early on was Elkins had a speed advantage. You know, Elkins was hitting Landwehr a lot. Landwehr's head movement definitely needs to be improved. He doesn't utilize proper head movement. Head completely on the center line. And that's part of the reason why Elkins was landing so many significant strikes. You know, Elkins has got the cardio for 3 rounds, was pushing forward, and had a lot of success striking against Landwehr. So Landwehr definitely needs to improve those things in addition to some others to really, you know, progress in this weight class. But good performance by him. It was a tough to give out performance bonuses on this card, in my opinion. You know, I don't know how the people in charge of it came to these conclusions, because you had so many fights and fighters just on this card that are very viable candidates for those bonuses. But this was one that, you know, fit right in my opinion. I thought this was an exciting fight from bell to bell. So really happy that, you know, the fight really delivered there. Giga Chikadze, the biggest favorite on the card, versus Aaron Rivera. Rivera took this fight on very short notice, 24 hours about, and is fighting up a weight class. And I thought, you know, even though Giga clearly won, I thought Irwin, you know, made a good account of himself. You know, he had cardio for all 3 rounds. He was aggressive. He was hitting Giga with some shots. You know, he didn't get discouraged. He showed a good chin. You know, he ate some clean knees from Giga. Like, and he went 3 rounds with a guy who's got a strong kickboxing background. So I thought good performance by both guys. You know, Irwin, I thought, did good considering the circumstances. You know, he wasn't the superior technical fighter here, but again, he hung in there with a guy that, you know, the odds suggested, and going on tape, I picked Giga to win. You know, not a hot take or anything like that, but, you know, he went in there, and I thought he made a good account of himself considering the circumstances. He fought tough. He didn't get discouraged. He kept pushing forward, and, you know, I thought he made a good account of himself from bell to bell. So really good performance by both gentlemen, and it was another one of those fights that really, you know, similar to Landwehr Elkins, it really delivered. You know, it could have been a fight of the night candidate if this card wasn't just so action-packed from top to bottom. So really good performance by both guys there. The next fight, Kevin Holland versus Anthony Hernandez. This one surprised me, and this is one of those, like, I always, like, stand my ground on, like, my decision making. Those of you that subscribe to my services and receive my written betting breakdowns, like, I say my betting opinion at the bottom, and if I haven't already placed a bet, I'll do, like, it in a, and I like a fighter or a prop in a certain aspect of a fight, I will do, like, an if-then statement. So I'll say, if this hits -150, then I'll place this amount of units on it. Or if this hits plus money, I'll place this amount of units. I'll do that. And in my my logic here was, in my betting opinion part of this fight, is I wanted Hernandez to hit plus money, and I was going to bet him, but he never got there at that point in the week in the book that I use. And it was crazy because, you know, doing my research and analysis here, I thought Hernandez was going to be able to land takedowns. You know, Holland is just not, he's just not a good defensive wrestler. And I thought Hernandez was going to be the more physical fighter, the one pushing forward more. But Holland really went out there aggressive. And that was, like, the most urgency I've seen Holland fight. You know, I'd have to go back and, like, watch a John Phillips fight. But just, you know, in his previous 3 outings, you know, like, DiCirico, Mearshart, Allen, you know, like, he looked good in some exchanges there, but, like, his urgency, like, right away, get work in terms of getting work done, like, right as the bell rung, like, he really went out there. And I've said before, like, Holland has a lot of attributes that could really make him successful, but he just doesn't use them to his full potential. And I think that's why a lot of people are hiring him, and I've liked him too, but he just doesn't always fight optimally. But this matchup in particular, he went out there, came in with a game plan, and really did work and was able to hurt Hernandez to the body. So good performance by Holland. Thing that stuck out to me about Hernandez in particular was this was his second fight in his three fights in the UFC where he's been hurt to the body. You know, against Marcus Perez, he got hurt to the body, and that was part of the reason which led to the submission there, the submission loss, and then in this fight too. So I'll be monitoring that going forward. You know, I pointed it out previously with like Jeremy Stevens and Matt Brown, who I'll talk about next. But that's kind of something that that is something that I'll monitor going forward. But nonetheless, good performance by Holland, and it was nice to see him fight with more urgency and fight with a game plan. He said in his post-fight interview that the goal there was to work the body here, and that's what he did. So nice to see Holland follow that game plan. Matt Brown versus Miguel Baeza. This was an awesome fight. I mean, just so back and forth. Brown had Baeza hurt early in the fight. You know, Baeza, you know, he likes to keep range, but he needs to do a better job of moving his head. You know, he does a solid job of covering up, but he kind of, similar to what I said about Land, where he needs to utilize better head movement, and that's part of the reason why Brown was tagging him up and was able to hurt him at one point. And it was just such an action-packed fight between two very game fighters here. And you know, Brown, unfortunately, didn't come out here the victor, but, I mean, it was just an awesome fight. Baeza, I think his stock went up. You know, a lot of people, including me, and rightfully so, didn't really know how he would fare here, like, you know, with a lot of conviction, because he hadn't fought a guy like Matt Brown. You know, a lot of the level of competition that he faced prior to this bout wasn't on the level of Matt Brown, so to match him up with a proven veteran like Matt Brown was kind of just, okay, how would he fare type of deal. I picked Baeza to win due to the durability speed advantages, but like on paper, you know, Brown was obviously the more proven fighter, you know, had a lot more experience, so it made for an interesting matchup, and we got to learn more about Baeza, which, you know, he was kind of similar to Nascimento, who I just talked about, kind of like a relatively unknown guy, not as unknown, but, you know, some information that we could take nonetheless and going forward. I like Baeza's mindset. He's a humble guy. He acknowledged in his post-fight interview that, you know, he needs to basically sharpen things up, paraphrasing with that, which is good. I like to see that he's acknowledging that there's improving that needs to be done, and it gives me hope that the improvements will, you know, be done going forward. So great performance by both guys, and man, that was just such a fun fight for as long as it lasted. The next fight, the opener on the main card, also a great fight, Song Yadong versus Marlon Vera. Awesome fight here, and this was another one of those like if-then statements on my betting opinion. I said if Yadong hit -150, I would bet him. Never got there, and part of the reason why was I was a little concerned about the cardio. And you know, while it's fair to say like on tape, you know, he gassed against Stamen in round three because of like a wrestling heavy style, he still got really tired there, and that's still a concern because Vera, even though he doesn't bring that same kind of like a relentless wrestling that Stamen brings, Vera has shown to push a heck of a pace. He'll be there for all three rounds, pressuring, not getting discouraged by anything. And Vera's shown to also be very durable. Never been finished his entire mixed martial arts career. Also holds true for this bout, which the way it concluded. So I knew Vera was going to be game, and that's why I didn't want to bet Yadong like near 2-1. I wanted the line to drop. It just never got there. And again, I'm going to stand my ground on that. But good performance by both guys. I mean, this was another one of those, like, it could have gone either way. Like, when they said 29-28, I think it was, like, just from a blank perspective, it's fair. But that said, taking a step outside, it could have gone 29-28 either way. I'm actually pretty surprised that it wasn't split there. I'm surprised that one judge didn't have it for Vera, because that fight was very close. Vera definitely won round three. Rounds one and two were close, and again, part of the reason why Vera won round three was because he was there. Yadong was game in round three, and he was doing damage, but Vera was the aggressor. Vera took him down. Vera was pushing the pace. So certainly this was just a fun fight where I think both guys' stocks went up. You know, on paper, Yadong won and Vera lost, but personally, I think both guys, this is one of those fights that both guys will get better from. These guys are both still very young. They're in their 20s, and I think they'll both get better. Excuse me, from what we've seen in this bout. So really happy with how this bout went. And again, it was just another one of those fights that really delivered here. I mean, it was just a true awesome fight. Really happy that this one went on the way it did, and just did not disappoint in the slightest. Next fight, Eric Anders versus Krzysztof Jako. This was the only fight on the card, in my opinion, that wasn't like action-packed. I actually bet the over 2.5 rounds here, 4 units on that. That was my most confident bet on the card, just due to the unit amount. I have another bet that I'll talk about in a couple bouts here, but I bet this fight basically over because both guys are low output in terms of striking exchanges. You know, Anders is the more threatening finisher, but Jako's very good at nullifying your attack, better defense, does a good job of really mitigating your offense. And he also had the speed advantage as well. So I felt good saying that like the over 2.5 rounds was going to cash. And they're also both durable too. I didn't really see... They're both BJJ brown belts. They're both... in terms of the wrestling, you know, I thought Anders would be the party more likely to have success there due to the strength advantage, but didn't really see a strong advantage on the ground either way. So felt good picking the over there. And that's... it was one of those fights. There was a lot of clinching. They both got tired because they were clinching a lot, and those are, you know, like deceivingly exhausting. I'm not the only one to point that out, but it was a competitive fight. You know, Krzysztof won. It was, I was again, a little surprised about the 30-27. You know, I think that, you know, with Anders getting the, having success in the clinch, I think a case for a scorecard could be made for him. But nonetheless, it was one of those fights where it was just kind of, you know, not as action packed as say some of these other ones. So, not like too much to take away here. I just, again, it's kind of the same thing with Anders. I just really wish he would fight with more urgency. And he's got the big power, he's got the attributes, but I would like to see him just really, you know, put his foot on the gas, fight with more urgency, perhaps wrestle more. And that way I think he could have more success in the UFC here. So I think middleweight's probably the better weight class for Anders because his size and strength advantage will be more pronounced here than, say, if he were to fight at light heavyweight. But, you know, it was just one of those fights. I don't have, like, a ton to take away from here. You know, we'll just have to, I guess, see these guys in the future and see if there's any takeaways from then on. Next fight, Danny Ige versus Edson Barboza. This was one of those, like, the scorecards were relatively questionable here. I thought Barboza won. I don't really know why, like, not just one but two judges gave Ige, like, either the first or second round. I thought the first and second round were clear for Barboza. The third round I thought was pretty clear for Ige. But I'm just pretty surprised, to be honest with you. Like, I'm also surprised at the amount of success that Ige had in the striking. I thought Barboza had him beat by, like, a wide margin. More technical, more varied reach advantage. Ige, though, what made it competitive, though, was Ige's pressure, which Barboza has shown susceptibility to, which, again, in hindsight, makes sense. But at the same time, I didn't, you know, I thought those other advantages that Barboza had that are more pronounced would overcome that and it wouldn't be as relevant here. But nonetheless, Ige was able to pressure, be aggressive, land in volume, and make those striking exchanges pretty competitive. You know, Ige's got power in his hands. He's, you know, not going to get discouraged. You know, even when Barboza had him hurt in round one, you know, he didn't get discouraged there. He didn't, you know, he didn't get timid. In fact, he actually ramped up his aggression a bit. So Ige's always game, and I thought he made a good account of himself there, but I really thought that Barboza should have gotten the nod here. I was pretty surprised that Ige even got Barboza down there in round three. You know, one of the things I pointed out was I don't think that Ige's is as strong or relentless power wrestler, say Kevin Lee and Khabib Nurmagomedov, but I think that more so speaks to the fact of the improvements that Ige is making, that he was able to get the takedown there in round three and get some ground and pound. But this was a good fight, a fun fight. Unfortunately for Edson, that was just, you know, one that didn't go his way, unfortunately. I thought he got the nod there, and he was one of those fighters in my breakdown. I thought it was a good stylistic matchup for Edson, but why I didn't bet him was just due to like the concerns I had about him. You know, in addition to the weight cut, which I saw the weigh-ins, you know, he looked good and everything. I just I don't think he's in the prime of his career anymore. And also, I had to factor in the damage that he's taken, you know, like in the Khabib fight and the Kevin fight, you know, the Gaethje loss. Like, these things I couldn't really just completely ignore. And so while I did think it was a good stylistic matchup for Edson on paper, I just couldn't bet him due to those red flags. If he hit plus money, it would have been more of a consideration for me. But at the price on the betting window, I chose to pass. This was my last bet. It was on this fight. I bet the under 2.5 rounds on Angela Hill versus Claudia Gadelha. I more so saw that cashing in the scenario where Claudia takes down Hill and wins by submission. You know, it's always possible that, you know, Hill were to just, you know, have to be the fresher fighter as the fight progressed and kind of just win by just doing excessive damage, you know, landing more significant strikes. But I saw the Claudia submission more likely. But I was pretty surprised to see Claudia not have that much urgency to get the takedowns here. You know, she got that takedown in round one, but she didn't really, you know, do a whole lot from there. She didn't, I thought she was going to get like mounts or perhaps get a back take or land more ground and pound, but she really didn't. So that was a concern for me, because in rounds 2 and 3, I thought that, you know, Hill had a chance to really make it interesting there, and she did. It was a split decision. And yeah, I guess my takeaway here is that Claudia, even in a fight where it was clear that she should have wrestled more, she really didn't. And so that's kind of a concern for me going forward, because similar to Lorena Marcos fight, like, yeah, she won that fight via striking, but like, that was a fight where I thought she would have won more comfortably had she taken down Marcos and, you know, perhaps gotten a submission, passed the guard, get top control time, because she is a very good grappler. She's a second degree BJJ black belt, but I'm a bit perplexed by that lack of urgency to go for the takedowns there. And I know she's doing work with Mark Henry, and she's doing great work there, and I do notice the improvements in her striking, which is great. But that said, I still don't think that she should just get away from what she's really, really good at. And again, that is that grappling pedigree that she has. And so I thought both women really made good accounts of themselves. You know, I understand this was another one of those fights. I could see, like, the case either way. I thought round one went to Claudia. I thought round two went to Hill. And then round three was kind of just a toss-up. I thought, you know, even though I didn't bet either woman on their money line, but I definitely had more exposure to Claudia on DraftKings. So, like, just objectively thinking, I thought Hill took round three. But, like, on DraftKings, I'm like, okay, like, Hill or Claudia won, you know, 30 extra points, you know, whatever. Glass half full versus half empty type of mentality. But, yeah, I mean, it was just a really competitive fight. I was just impressed with how competitive Hill made it. I mean, I think this is a fight where, even though she lost on paper, Hill's stock went up. And, you know, this was a fight on paper where, you know, you could do this with a lot of matchups, but say had it taken place 2-3 years ago, I think we would have seen Claudia as a bigger favorite here. But due to the momentum Hill has been riding and her activity versus Claudia, who had only fought once prior to this fight since March 2019, and Angela, who had fought 6 times, it made a, you know, less certain than it otherwise would be. But, you know, despite her losing on paper, you know, Hill got the knockdown there in round two, and I thought her stock went up. So very good performance by both ladies, and really looking forward to seeing them in the octagon again. Lastly, the main event here, this was just similar to the Bays Brown fight. It was just so crazy with how things materialized, because Waltz clearly hurt Overeem there, and I thought that was going to be the fight when Overeem was covering up and Walt was doing a lot of ground and pound, and Overeem was able to hang on there, and unfortunately Walt got tired and Overeem was able to take Walt down and you know have the better of the first round, as after Walt inflicted all that damage, you know, after Overeem recovered there. It was crazy, you know, seeing that how all that transpired within the first round. You know, you had Walt who hurt Overeem early on and looked like he was going to finish him there, and then Overeem comes back there and then was able to utilize his wrestling and grappling to do better in the later half of that round. So it was just a crazy round, and then the following round, Harris was tired. He exhilarated a lot of energy when trying to go for that finish against Overeem, and understandably so. And, you know, Overeem was able to you know, get the knockdown there in the second round. And, you know, Harris, unfortunately, was tired and couldn't hang on there to make it to the third round. And it was just a crazy fight. You know, this is another fight where, like, it was so action-packed. And you could make a case that this was fight of the night. But because this card was so stacked, you know, from top to bottom, you know, there were so many fight of the night candidates. There were so many performance of the night candidates that it just kind of, you know, it didn't get the official performance bonus, but it was just such a great fight between two ranked heavyweights. And, you know, just really, really crazy to just see how everything transpired. I mean, between this and the Baeza Brown fight, I was just like, wow. I mean, just between the first round of each respective fight, it was just crazy to see how things came to fruition there. So, really liked this card here. It was awesome. It looks like we're not going to have another card here for May 30th, like I said, but really happy to just get on here and recap the card. I'll be sure to get going on the upcoming card once the bouts are solidified here, and looking forward to doing that. Until then, I'm going to be working for you guys. I'm going to be producing content as always, and definitely be distributing it as well. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast here of me recapping last night's UFC card, and hope it brought you value. And this is AJ. I can be found on Twitter at AJMMABetting. It could also be found on Instagram with the same handle. And wishing you all well on this day. Take care, guys.